1 Samuel chapter 17 this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to start in verses 1 through 11. 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting at verses 1 through 11. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shochoh, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochoh and Azekah in Ephesdim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath, out of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Father, we do thank you again for the time we can have together. Thank you, Father, for the many lessons that we can learn from your word. Thank you, Father, that your word does strengthen our faith. It gives us hope. It gives us insight and wisdom. And Father, it shows us that nothing is impossible with God. And it shows us someone who has faith in God can do anything as you move in their life and through their life. Father, we ask that you would bless our time. Help us to learn. Help us to retain what you speak to our hearts about. Help us to meditate upon it later. But Father, we ask that you'd help us to give our full attention to you this morning, looking unto the author and finisher of our faith. As always, Lord, would you bless the children? Help them, Lord, to learn the Bible lesson, to have fun with the games, the crafts, the things that they'll do. I pray, Father, that the word of God would take root in their heart. But Father, we're living in a day and age where more and more people are discrediting the truth of your word. Even some of God's own people are turning their back on the things of God. Father, I ask that you would help us, Lord, as your people, to remain strong in our faith. Lord, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by your word. That, Father, that we would even desire for our faith to grow. Not grow in our ability, but grow in your ability, your faithfulness, Father, towards us. Thank you, Father, for being faithful. Thank you, Father, for guiding our steps and even helping us, Lord, to finish the course that you've set our feet upon. Father, we ask that you bless, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning I want to talk to us about slaying the giant of faith, or the giant of fear, I'm sorry, slaying the giant of fear through faith. We all face fear at some time in our life. David faced fear, and it was in the form of a literal giant that was over 9 feet tall, a man that was the champion of the Philistines, a man that brought fear into the minds of God's people, much like the giants did in the days of Joshua and Caleb when they went into the promised land. They went into the land of Canaan. They spied it out. They saw the goodness of the land. They saw the blessing of the Lord was there. They knew that God had brought them to a wonderful place that he was going to give them. It would take work on their part. They would have to walk by faith. They would have to trust the Lord, follow the Lord, obey the Lord. But you always have those that just don't quite believe that God can. And you had those 10 men that also saw the goodness of the land and carried back the cluster of grapes that were so huge, two grown men had to carry it, tell the other people, yeah, see the grapes? The giants are much bigger than the grapes. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. And they caused fear to be instilled in the hearts and minds of God's people. They refused to follow God into the promised land. David was not going to allow himself to be intimidated by this giant. He was going to allow himself to continue to be encouraged by God, who is always bigger than any giants that we face in life. And David shows us the example of how to slay the giant of fear, because fear is no respecter of persons. Fear wants to hold on to and grasp and clasp onto anybody that will allow it, so that they're paralyzed from doing anything for God, paralyzed in believing the truth of God's word. The fear of man bringeth a snare, the Bible tells us. And these men, the men that were in the army, Saul's army, were paralyzed every time they saw Goliath. Fear focuses on the obstacle, but faith always sees the victory through God. And that's what we're going to be reminded of today, is don't focus on the obstacle, focus on the Lord. Think about the victory you have through the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? Why were they so afraid? Why were the men of Israel so afraid when this Goliath would come out? Because when you read the chapter, they would go out and fight against the Philistines. They'd fight against them, but when Goliath would come out and start talking, they would become afraid. It might be that sometimes people think that they can't, that they don't have what it takes to overcome what they're facing. In chapter 13, in verses 19 and 20, it might be a reason why some of the men were afraid, because of what they didn't have. Now, there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share, his coulter, and his axe, and his mattock. All they had with them were garden tools. They didn't have a sword. They didn't have a spear. Only Jonathan had a sword. King Saul had a sword. But the rest of the men, they had nothing but farming tools. But you know what? It doesn't matter what you have. God can use it. Because remember what God told Moses, what's in your hand? He said, a rod. He said, cast it down. He cast it down, became a serpent. And God said, now grab it by the tail. And Moses grabbed it by the tail. It became a rod again. So you realize God can do anything with what you have. And he's given all of us talents to be used. Talents that he wants to use, and maybe a trade, maybe something that you can do, God wants to use for his honor and his glory and for the help of God's people. But again, it might be the men were afraid because they saw, they would see Goliath dressed in all his military garb with his weapons and stuff. And it would be a very frightful sight, no doubt, to see a man over 9 feet tall, probably very muscular and one that was very vulgar and just full of the devil, just cursing and screaming. But yet David would not allow himself to be intimidated by such a sight. But I want you to see in verses 1 and 3 just that fear does paralyze if we are not standing upon faith in our God. Now the Philistines, it says, they gathered themselves together there at the Valley of Elah. So there, Philistines are on one side of the valley. Saul and his men are on the other side, and they would come down into the valley to do battle. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the Valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the one on a mountain on the one side. Israel stood on the mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. They gathered together in this place. It's not that they were caught off guard. It's not that Saul and his men were caught by surprise. They specifically came together because the Philistines, if they were to come through that valley, they would overtake the rest of the land. They would continue to oppress the people of God. They could take over Saul and take over Jerusalem and all the cities. But that was the battlefield. And the battle plan was just to set the things in array and reminding us it To set the battle in array means to arrange or to set or put or lay in order, to prepare. And that's what Saul was doing. He was preparing for battle, preparing the men for battle with what farm equipment, farm tools that they had. They were going to do their best. But one thing that you will not see in these verses, King Saul never seeks God. David would seek God, but King Saul would not seek God because prior to this battle, he stopped seeking God. He stopped listening to the words of the prophet Samuel. And therefore, back in, if you were to go back, I believe it's in chapter 13, where God takes the kingdom away from Saul. And he tells, actually it might be in chapter 16. I think it is in chapter 16, where God tells Samuel to stop mourning for Saul because God had taken the kingdom away from Saul and was going to give it to a man after his own heart, someone who would lead the people in serving God and following God and trusting the Lord. But again, Saul here, he's setting the battle in array. He's preparing his men for battle. And yet, you have the champion, Goliath, in verses 4 through 10. He was very intimidating. I mean, he's just reading what it says in these verses. Verse 4, there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath. Obviously a champion because he never lost a battle. He was still standing. And all he wanted Israel to do, hey, send one man to fight me, and if he wins, we'll be your servant, but if I win, you'll be my servant. I mean, that's a pretty good deal, isn't it? But see, that's the way the devil operates. You do this, and you can have that. Remember, the devil came to Jesus and said, the third temptation we read, you bow down to me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. I always marvel at that. I always think, you know, the audacity, the guts, the nerve the devil has to sit there and tell Jesus, if you bow to me, I'll give you all the kingdoms and all the wealth of the world. Doesn't he know who he is? Yes, he knows who he is. But it just shows us that if the devil will come to Jesus and tempt him in that fashion, he will to us as well. And one of his tactics is fear, causing fear in the hearts and minds of God's people to bow down to whatever he wants. Again, none of us would bow down to the devil if he were to walk through that door right now. None of us would like seek after to follow him and to bow down. How often we do just through fear. Fear of man, fear of the unknown, fear of not making it. A lot of people allow themselves to be led by fear in their life, which brings more trouble into their life than they really wanted. But here, I mean, you've got the Goliath. You've got the champion of the Philistines. He's intimidating. That's about all he is intimidating. He defies. He talks. He stood and cried in verse 8 under the armies of Israel and said to them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then will you become or be our servants and serve us. Fear talks a lot, but mine and your faith should be a lot stronger and a lot louder. Because our faith is in the one that has all power. I know the devil has a little bit of power, but the Lord Jesus Christ has all power. How do you slay the giant of fear? How do you not allow yourself to be intimidated by fear? And again, none of us would probably even say, well, I'm not afraid. There's nothing I fear. I don't fear anything. How often we make decisions in our life based on fear, even if we don't want to call it fear. And fear is not trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Fear is not seeking the wisdom of God. Saul did not seek God's wisdom or God's advice or God's power in the matter. Therefore, Saul and the men of the army, they're all afraid. They're all afraid because they don't have the Spirit of God on their side. They don't have the Prince of Peace in their life. the men are being affected by Saul. Saul no longer has the Spirit of God upon his life. Again, God took his Spirit away from Paul, or away from Saul, because he rejected the Lord and rejected his words. And when you read in the scriptures, it says that God allowed an evil spirit to come and to trouble King Saul. But David has the Lord on his side. The men were dismayed. They were full of fear. Look at verse 23 in verse 17, verse 23 and 24. It says, "And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, spake according to the same words that we read earlier, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid." They were sore afraid of what they saw. Again, not everything we see is true. Again, I can remember being a child and being afraid of the dark and thinking I would see things in the closet that weren't there, until I turned the light on and realized, okay, there's nothing there. But you know how sometimes we say our minds play tricks on us? They're looking at this giant and assuming the giant is bigger than their God. They're not even thinking about God. Fear has gripped them and paralyzed their own faith. They can't even think straight. They can't even put their minds on the Lord. All they can see is this giant, something that they cannot overcome. There are things in our life that really are out of our power. We can't do anything about it. No matter how much we try to wrap our minds around it and come up with a plan and come up with a solution and answer, we just can't. It's bigger than what we can handle, and that's exactly where God wants us to be, because he wants us to rely upon him and not our own wisdom. He wants us to rely upon his wisdom. He wants us to follow him and let him do great and mighty things in our life. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, we're reminded, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And sometimes people will blame God for the things happening in their life that they weren't expecting, that they don't think are fair. But it's those opportunities, those times that we can give God the opportunity to show himself great in mind. God always wants to do something in our life. God's always looking for a man or a woman to show himself great and mighty in. That's why he chose David. He chose David to be the next king of Israel, because David already had a heart for God. And God was going to strengthen that heart. This morning, you and I already have a faith in God. We already know that God can, and God will do according to his will and his purpose. There's nothing God cannot do. But it's in your life and my life that he wants to accomplish that. And sometimes he allows giants in our life. Because you realize, God knew the giants were in the land. He just didn't tell Moses, Joshua, Caleb, or any of the other men that there were giants in the land. He just told them of the blessings that they would have if they would follow God and follow God into the promise. And he didn't tell them about the giants because he didn't want them to be focused on the giants. Now, you and I mean, you've been alive long enough, you know that there are giants that come and go in our life. There are things we have to handle, things we have to face, but never alone and never in our own strength or wisdom, because we have God on our side. If God be for us, who can be against us? And that was David's mindset. If God be for me, who can be against me? This Goliath was no doubt going to fall, and he was going to fall hard. Don't allow the spirit of fear to grip you, because that is not of God. Stand in the power and love that God has given through the Lord Jesus Christ. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Look, if you would, at verse 15, 17, and 18. Now, these men, along with Saul, they were paralyzed by fear. They just could not gather enough strength or enough bravery to even attempt to go out there against Goliath. But verse 15, "But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David, his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000 and look how thy brethren fare and take their pledge. Now, David was, he was the armor bearer for Saul. God had sent the evil spirit to plague Saul. His own men said, let us look out among the people, a man that's cunning on the harp that can come and play the harp and soothe your soul. And Saul said, find him. And they said, well, we already know of a young man. His name is David. He's the son of Jesse. And he said, well, go get him. And David came and David would play his harp and it would soothe his soul. But because Saul loved him at this point, Saul made him his armor bearer. Saul made David his armor bearer, which meant David was supposed to be there with him, carrying his sword, carrying his shield, and just going everywhere. But for some reason, Saul sent him back home. Now, I believe it was the providence of God. I think God did it because David was going to be the hero that God would use to encourage the men again to believe in God. But David, he's being faithful in little. He goes back. He watches over the sheep. That's exactly where God found him. When Samuel came to Jesse and anointed David to be the next king, and Jesse called his 7 sons to come to the feast, to come to the sacrifice, and Samuel was trying to figure out which one God was going to ordain to be the next king, and God rejected all 7, and Samuel says, well, do you have another son because God has rejected all these? Well, yeah, we got the youngest, but he's tending to the sheep. Don't ever think that you're a nobody because you're somebody in the eyes of God. Doesn't matter what other people think. Even Jesse said, well, he's the youngest. You know, he didn't even bother calling him to the feast. He left him out there to tend to the sheep. And it's not that he didn't have any other servants, because it says that David, when David is questioned by his oldest brother, you know, what'd you do with those sheep? He said, well, you know, they're with the servants. But for whatever reason, David's not thought of much by people, but he's thought of highly by God. Kind of like Mary was thought of highly by God and chosen to bear Jesus, to be the mother of Jesus. Again, you are valuable in the eyes of God. How do you view yourself? I know there are people that have a low self-esteem, people that view themselves very, very lowly, people that view themselves unlovable. It's a lie from the devil. You're very valuable and loved in the eyes of your Creator, the one who has given you life, the one who wants to do great things in your life, and He wants you not to be gripped with fear. He wants you to slay that fear with your faith that you have in your Lord. But again, we see David. David is just being faithful in taking care of the sheep, faithful in doing what his father wants him to do. And somebody once said that fear will cancel out faith, or faith will cancel out fear. Can't have them both. Either our faith is so strong it cancels out the fear, or the fear cancels our faith out because our faith is not that strong. You know what? Your faith is only as strong as what it is in. What is your faith in this morning? Is it in someone else's ability to help you? Is it in your own ability? Or is it in your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? You know, I know there's I don't know if you call it a motto, logo, whatever, but Oxford Strong. And it's about unity. It's about the community coming together because of what happened last November. But you know what? I got one that's better. Hope Strong. Because your hope is only as strong as the source. Somebody's strength is only as strong as the source. Goliath is relying upon his own strength. Over 9 foot tall, no doubt he's a giant. Probably, again, like I said, muscular. I mean, he's just confident in himself. He's the champion of the Philistines. No one's ever been able to take him. But David, his faith is strong in the Lord. Because you know what? If your faith is strong in the Lord, your faith will never fail. My faith will never fail if it is strong in the Lord and his ability and his faithfulness and his power. But he was faithful in little. In Matthew 6:6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. David had a personal walk with God. He trusted the Lord. He believed in him. And it helped him publicly. It helped him in his daily life. You and I can have a private relationship with the Lord, but the truth of that relationship will bear out in our daily life when we're faced with things, when we're faced with obstacles, when we're faced with decisions, when we're faced with trials, when we're just faced with life. Look at verse 24, if you would, of 1 Samuel 17. 24 through 26 again. It says, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, Goliath, they fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up? And they're talking to David. Surely to defy Israel has he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king, will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And how true. Who is it that would defy themselves against our God? What is it in your life that you seem to give place to that cripples you or paralyzes you or keeps you from having true faith in God and true strength in the Lord? What is it that seems to just plague your mind or just seems to come around so often that you just wish it would stop or wish it would go away? It might be that God wants you to slay it with the faith in Jesus Christ. That's all that David has, is faith in God. And I'm not reading some account in the Bible that you don't know. There's probably not a single person in here or in the sound of my voice that doesn't know the story of David and Goliath and how it ends. You know it ends in victory. But do you know how to apply it to your life? Can you see yourself in this story? Can you see yourself in David's position as he is about to face the giant of his life? And it won't be the last giant that he faces. But think about just the heart of faith. David has such a heart of faith. He says, hey, what will happen to the man that will kill this Philistine who is blaspheming our God? Like I said earlier, Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. This morning, don't you know that you are safe in the arms of Christ? That you are safe because you are in the arms of Christ? And not only in the arms of Christ, but the eyes of the Lord watches over you and me. And David has such a heart of faith that he is willing to do something about it. But do you know what? Every time you and I try to stand up in faith, you know what? I'm going to be stronger in my faith and I'm going to trust the Lord. It's always tested. Your faith is always tested the moment you want to stand up, the moment you want to try to do better for the Lord. Because in verse 28, Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Here he's accusing David walking away from the sheep, from not even his father knowing it, but you just stole away down here. You left those sheep by themselves because you just wanted to see the goriness of the battle. You wanted to see just how things were going on because you're not old enough to be in the army. That wasn't the case. But again, someone always wants to condemn what you want to do for the Lord. It's just the matter. It will happen. Thank the Lord for those that actually will encourage you in your faith and encourage you in doing what God's laid upon your heart to do for him. But you always have those. You always have your test. Your faith will be tested. And David says in verse 29, what have I now done? Well, what did I do wrong? Is there not a cause for what I'm saying? I mean, there's a cause because here's a guy that is defying our God. And God will give us the victory. Do you believe that God will give you victory over anything you face in life? David sure believed it. David believed that God would give him the victory because, again, God wants to glorify himself in our lives. But you know what? David passed the faith test. His brother accused him falsely, and David stands up to him and says, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause for the faith that I have in my God against this situation? But when you look at verses 31 through 33, doubt always wants to set in. If fear can't grip you, then doubt wants to settle in your mind. Verse 31, when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Even Saul wasn't getting it. Even Saul was making his decision based upon what he saw instead of upon the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here David says, don't let the men's heart fail. You know what? I'll go and do it. I'll go and do what nobody else is able to do. And then the doubt wants to take control and say, oh, you're not able to. I don't know. Have you ever determined to do something but then started having thoughts of doubt of, oh, maybe I can't do it. Or what if this goes wrong? Or what if that goes wrong? Or what if I do it and the Lord really isn't in it? Because if fear can't get you, doubt wants to. But listen, David passed that test as well. Because again, David was not going to allow fear or doubt to control him, but he was going to allow his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in God, to bring him to the victory. Look at verse 34 through 37. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Now, I haven't been to the zoo in a long time, but I like going to the zoo. I like seeing all the different animals, and I like seeing the tigers and the polar bears and things that they have, and I like the fact they're behind an enclosure that I'm hoping they don't get out of. Because you hear stories of you know, animals getting out of their enclosure and roaming the zoo and stuff and unfortunately attacking people. And I always, you know, I enjoy seeing them and just keep my distance and pray that, you know, they don't try to come over the wall or anything. But you know what? When you love something, you'll fight for it. When you love somebody, you'll fight for them. I mean, one of the descriptions of a mother is a bear. You don't mess with a mother and her kids. You don't mess with a mama bear and her cubs. David grabs a lion by its beard and kills it. He had no fear. But he doesn't give credit to himself. He gives credit to God. He doesn't give credit to his training. Nobody trained him how to grab a lion by the beard and kill it and take a lamb out of a bear's mouth. That was just instincts of the moment. God moving in David's life to save that lamb, to kill that lion, because the devil is referred to as a lion in 1 Peter chapter 5. In fact, go there, 1 Peter chapter 5. Because the devil's like a roaring lion. walking about, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter chapter 5, and look at verse number 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Have no fear, God is on your side. Verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. God tells us, okay, you have an adversary. He acts like a lion. He's roaming about. He's roaring. He's trying to get you to be fearful. He's trying to get you entrapped in his snare. But resist him. David resisted the fear by trusting God. And David's relying upon past experiences and past victories as he faces Goliath right now. He has confidence in the proven means of his life. Again, for time's sake, when you look back at 1 Samuel, chapter 17, David gives the account of the bear of the lion, and King Saul wants to give him his armor. Okay, sounds like God is with you, but here, you know what? Here's my armor, here's my sword. But then David, he says, I can't do this. Verse 39, David girded his sword upon his armor. He essayed to go. He tried to go with it, but he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I've not proved them. And David put them off of him. Don't try some new method in following God. Everybody has their opinion. Everyone has their new way of doing things, but the old paths still work. God still works in the old ways. God's word is still powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The devil hates it. That's why Jesus used it in the wilderness against the devil. Thus it is written, thus it is written. And the devil left him for a season. Look at where God has already given you victory. The great thing about looking in the past of our life where God has given us victory, you know, looking back, you know, I can see where God brought me from that point to this point. He never forsook me. He never left me alone. He never left me to the will of my enemy. He brought me through it. So you know what? He's going to give me victory as I go through this valley. And David was about to ascend or descend down into a valley. A valley that was full of fear, a valley that was full of doubt, but he wasn't going to allow it to latch onto him or to defeat him. He was going with faith. And David put off the armor that King Saul tried to get him to go with and said, I haven't proven these. I don't know how to use this. In verse 40, he took his staff in his hand, something that he knew how to use, something that God had used multiple times to help him. He chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. He took what he had already proven to be faithful. He took something he knew how to use, something that God had helped him to learn. That's all he had. He was coming against this giant, really with nothing, with sticks. And that's why Goliath says, am I a dog? You come at me with sticks? Because truly, through the eyes of people, through the eyes of humans, when you look at what David was coming against Goliath with, he basically was coming with nothing. He sure was going to be a dead man. He sure was going to lose the battle if you look at Goliath and you look at David. But again, when we look through the eyes of faith, we see it much different. All Elisha's servant could see was the Assyrian army that was surrounding the city they were in, and he was afraid. And Elisha comes out, and he's not afraid. And even the servant says, Master, I mean, look, we're surrounded, we're doomed. And Elisha just says, Lord, would you open up his eyes so he can see there's more with us than with them? Elisha saw through the eyes of faith that God was on their side. And this servant saw that the host of heaven was surrounding the enemy army. That's why we look unto the hills, from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord. Again, David reminds us it doesn't matter how big the giant may be, doesn't matter how powerful the giant may seem, God is on our side, and we already have the victory. We already have the victory. Now, the giant, he belittles David, calls him a dog. He still defiles the enemies of the army of God. He still curses God. But I want you to notice verse 45 through 51, though. No matter what is said, no matter what David sees, no matter what David hears, his faith never diminishes in God, and it proves in his action. Because you and I can say, I have faith in God, but the proof comes down to the test, comes down to the action, what we do with the faith that we have in God. Verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. He doesn't say, I come to you with a slingshot and some rocks. The adversary doesn't care what we have in our hand. He doesn't care about our past victories. We should care about our past victories in God, and we should care about what's in our hand. What are we going to fight the giant with? David, he has a sling, he has some rocks, but that's not what he says. You come to me with a sword and a spear, but I only come to you in the name of the Lord, because the name of the Lord is my strength. My strength relies in God. Too many times people try to do their best before relying upon God, before asking God for help. And it needs to be the other way around. We all struggle with that. I do too. Because we see something, oh, okay, I've been through this before. I know what to do. But God does not want us to do that. He wants us to walk by faith, relying upon him. And there are times where, you know, we can become frazzled and overwhelmed because we don't know what to do. And God doesn't want us to be frazzled and overwhelmed. He wants us to be standing in our faith in him. But David says, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. People need to know that there is a God in our life, and that we do trust in that God. In Proverbs 18:10, the Bible says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is saved. David is trusting in Jehovah. He's trusting in the all-powerful one. He is trusting in the one that sets up kings and sets down kings, raises them up, sets them down. He's trusting in the one who is sovereign, who orders the affairs of men. He's trusting in the one that's already proven himself faithful in his own life. Again, Saul wanted him to do it differently. Well, here, take my sword. No, he was just going to trust in the Lord. And you know, he gets the victory. Look, in verse 47, all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He was very quick. He didn't hesitate. He was very quick in running towards the giant, not letting the giant intimidate him like he had done the rest of the men of Israel or King Saul. he hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. Now he used what was in his hand. He used what he was good at, but he left it up to the Lord. He left the results up to the Lord because he knew that God's will would be done. He knew that God would give him victory. He simply came in the name of the Lord. You know, there's sometimes all we can do is just say, Lord, help me. Sometimes we can't even, you know, spend 5 minutes in prayer because of whatever we're facing. And we need the strength of the Lord on our side. But I want you to understand this morning that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Perfect love cast out fear. David was never at a moment facing that giant or looking at him from a distance ever fearful. You see that in Scripture. He never allowed himself to be gripped with that fear because there's no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. David had perfect love in God. David had a love for God because God had a love for David. We love him because he first loved us. Some of our failures in life are faith failures because we didn't have faith in God. We didn't trust God enough. We didn't rely upon God enough. We allowed the fear, the doubt, whatever we want to call it, to grip us and paralyze us from actually letting God have victory in our life. Again, God wants to show himself great and mighty in our life. He wants us to slay the giant of fear. Again, fear causes us not to move forward for God, not to do things for God, not to live for God, not to trust God and believe God and cast my care upon him. Why is it that sometimes we don't cast our cares upon the Lord? It's because we're probably afraid that he won't hear us, or he won't answer us, or he won't do what needs to be done. But all throughout Scripture, men and women chose to just walk by faith. Ruth chose to leave Moab to go where she heard God was blessing his people, not knowing what was going to happen, not fearing the travel that they would, her and Naomi would have to take to go from Moab back to their hometown. Paul, God said, no, my grace is sufficient. Paul prayed his prayer for the thorn of the flesh to be removed, and Jesus said, no, my grace is sufficient. He said, okay, I'd rather have the power of God upon my life. There are things that God allows in our lives so that we will stay on our knees and stay close to him praying that he doesn't take away. But then there are the times where, you know what, we are faced with things that God can and will take away. He just wants us to have the faith to trust him and to move forward. Because it really does take faith. All throughout the Bible, that's what you see, faith. You realize that, go ahead and stand, we'll close here in a second. You realize that God brought the Israelites out of Egypt and out of slavery. God's the one that gave them deliverance. But then God brought them to the Red Sea where they were trapped. No escape to the left or to the right because there were the mountains, and then the Egyptian army is coming right behind them. They had no way of escape. Until God told Moses, stretch your rod out. And the Red Sea parted, and they walked across on dry ground. God always gives us the victory. We have the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's not the way we think, but he does, because you and I are free in Christ. He doesn't bring us out to a desert place to leave us and to be cruel. He brings us out to places to show himself great and mighty in our life.